Tonight is about each other. Tonight is about relentless football. Ain't a damn body touch the football. Can't get knocked out tonight. Let's do what we do best on three. One, two, three.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It's a Baltimore Ravens podcast. We talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football, a podcast about your Super Bowl champion, Baltimore Ravens. And I don't know about you, but I've been dreaming of a white Sunday. And let me tell you, just like this past Sunday, that was a game to remember. Joining me as always, we got my buddy Josh. What's going on, man?
Hey, Brandon. Yeah, man. We survived that one. That was an incredible game indeed, bro. And we have a lot to talk about, but wow, man.
Yeah, before we even talk about the actual game, I just want to talk to you about the experience being there. I've been to a lot of different sporting events. I've done plenty of Baltimore Oriole games. I've done Ravens Steelers before. I've done Capitals playoff games against the Rangers. I've seen memorable stuff live. I have never in my life experienced anything even remotely close to what I experienced this past Sunday. We tailgated before the game. We saw when the snow started coming down. That didn't put a damper on anything. We got into that stadium. The field was just blanketed with white snow. We watched the entrances of the guys coming in, and added with the smoke and the snow, we couldn't see anything when the game started. But that whole experience of being outside, being in the elements, being, you know, in just a downpour of snow, watching it change from sleet to rain, back to snow, and back and forth. But seeing the guys play, and especially, we're going to talk plenty about the last 2 minutes of this game, but seeing, you know, the game go back and forth, this was an experience I'll never forget. I don't know about you, but I had an absolute blast. I could not get over what I had just been through. And let's talk a little bit more about it. But what was the game like for you?
Oh, the game was, I am a loss for words. I mean, I'm glad I got my voice back. But, Brandon, I mean, the range of emotions we've all felt. My buddy put it this way. I mean, we were there with some friends of mine, and my buddy pretty much texted me when he got home. He goes, dude, you were shell-shocked. I was like, I didn't know what to do because, I mean, we all know what happened. I mean, obviously, we've seen the highlights, but there was nothing better than, you know, the game, how it ran, and we were fourth down and two, and Pittick catches the game, or would have thought it was the game winner. All we had to do was stop him, and we run out the clock, and victory would be ours. And I don't know if you, I think you knew, you seen me sitting there in the stands, but Brandon, when Cordell Patterson returned that screen pass all the way to the house on 3rd and 10, I literally sat there on the concrete and was just like, my buddy's like, you look like a dejected baby. I'm like, I was pouting like a child. I didn't know what to do because I was just like, are you kidding me? Like, Jacoby returns it, we do this. Like, it was one of those, like, disbeliefs, like, there's no way. Like, this is a playoff game or a playoff caliber. It had implications. We can go on and on and on, but I just sat there, and then I saw Joe Flacco orchestrate a 80-yard, 45-second, two-timeout drive that he's known for. It's never pretty, but it's clutch. And when I saw Joe Flacco complete that, the one right across the middle, I finally stood up on my feet, and I was like, we're going to do it. And surely enough, 4 seconds later, I mean, I could just recap it ahead and ahead, but Brandon, I don't know if you went home and watched the highlights, but obviously, you know, for the sake of it, both Viking touchdowns were towards us, and then both Raven touchdowns of Jacoby Jones and the Marlon Brown and the Pitta touchdowns, which all three were all farther away. I didn't really see how incredible that Marlon Brown touchdown was, but how incredible was that throw that Flacco threw over the defense, right under the goalpost, put it back in the end zone. Marlon Brown with a great catch, dragging his feet. That was a play of plays, man. I'm telling you what, Joe Flacco made that throw. He made the throw to Pitta's. He ran on his feet. I mean, that was a drive.
Now, Joe Flacco can get a lot of crap, and he didn't have a perfect game. You know, he definitely did some questionable stuff, and we'll talk about some of those interceptions that he threw in a little bit. But that ending of that game, that's why Joe makes the big bucks, all right? Everyone can say, oh, he's not playing well, he's got this big contract, he's not playing like an elite guy, yada, yada, yada. But look, this is why he's making the big bucks. Because when it comes down to 2 minutes left in the game, when it comes down to the Ravens need to make any kind of play happen, Joe does it. Joe is so cool under pressure. He knows how to handle it. I'll go back a couple years to Ravens Steelers in Pittsburgh. Ben Roethlisberger wasn't playing, and Joe Flacco got it down the field and got it to Hushman Zada in the end zone. All right, and no one, I don't think anyone besides Joe would have been able to pull that off. Joe is so cool under pressure. He knows how to handle these last 2 minutes that are so important to a football game. Joe gets things done. He may not get them done all the time, but man, when he's on, he is on, and he knows what to do in those last 2 minutes, those panicky situations. Joe is a great quarterback. There's nobody else I would rather have with the Ravens, but man, those last 2 minutes, Joe knew exactly what to do. He knew exactly who to throw to. He played it cool under pressure, and he got things done.
He got things done, you're right. You're right. It's the stats. I don't know if you saw my tweets this morning, Brandon. I courtesy ESPN. ESPN put out an article. how Joe Flacco, obviously, he's the most winningest quarterback now in the last 5 or 6 years. Since 2008, he just notched his 61st victory. He actually is the most winningest quarterback because Ben Roethlisberger, him and Big Ben were tied at 60 wins. Obviously, Steelers lost, Ravens won. So right now, Joe Flacco stands alone with one win ahead as the winningest quarterback in the last 6 years, even more than Brady. Manning, I know Manning's skewed because he didn't play a year because of his injury. But I'm just telling you what, people don't give it credit enough. And the article states, and I also put a courtesy ESPN, the boys at ESPN put this together. They said Flacco excels in the category that quarterbacks are measured by most dash wins. Nobody remembers 5 touchdowns in a loss. Nobody remembers 500 passing yards if they don't make the playoffs. Flacco can throw, I don't even care if he throws for 6,000 yards and 60 touchdowns and one pick all year. If the Ravens don't make the playoffs, let alone win a Super Bowl, no one's going to care. Everybody's going to remember, oh my God, remember we lost the playoff game? Or oh my God, we didn't make the playoffs? No one's going to care about that because obviously that stats win you fantasy championships. They end up winning you NFL championships, because obviously we can go on and on and on about the NFL championships. Defense wins ultimately in the end. Just see our Super Bowl last year, fourth down defensive stand. So it goes to show you these high powered offenses, and I'm tired of it. A lot of these poser fans, per se, they claim the Ravens fans, but then they bash Joe Flacco, and it's like, oh my God, well, yes, he's thrown 5 picks in a game this year. Yes, he threw 3 picks on Sunday, but what matters most is he made the stores the win. No one cares about the 3 picks he made. Obviously, if we had lost, we would be talking about the picks instead of the touchdowns. Now it's, oh my God, Joe Flacco threw that to Mom Brown. Did you see that? Oh my God, he made that throw to Pitt down low and Pitt had to die for it. That was incredible. We talk about the things that matter depending on the outcome of the game. I'd rather talk about both sides because obviously there were some ill-advised throws, but I was watching highlights, Brandon. Obviously, we were both there in the stands. What's your take on this? Because when I was watching highlights, I've seen, and especially in Philly, because Philly looked like they got hammered in the Eagles game, it looked like you couldn't even visibly see anything. So a lot of people are talking maybe that wasn't Flacco's fault. Maybe he really didn't see the Viking white jersey in the whiteout down there. And Harbaugh even touched on this in a press conference, that Joe Flacco's depth perception might have been a little off, or the timing, because in Flacco's mind, when these routes are on, he has an internal clock, and he's waiting for these routes to get open. So Harbaugh was quoted in stating maybe the receivers got open earlier than Joe anticipated, so by the time he saw them, they were covered. Because a lot of times sitting up there in the stands on Sunday, I saw a lot of wide open receivers, but Joe wasn't ready to look at them. So I guess the weather was a factor, but what's your take on that? Because I don't know if that was, it's really up at a high vantage point. You can't really tell how bad the snow was, but it was coming down pretty good.
Oh yeah, it was definitely coming down pretty good. And I honestly don't know. There was a big thing, you know, that we were talking about in the stands that Joe kept throwing to guys who were completely blanketed by the Vikings. He was throwing it with receivers that have two to three guys on them, and why would he try to make that throw? I think the weather was definitely a factor on this. Maybe he didn't see those white jerseys with all the white on that field, with all the white coming down in his face. I mean, you definitely got to think that the snow played some sort of factor in here, because that is not normal working conditions that we would get throughout the year. But I think that's the main thing. But at the same time, Joe has made these same kind of mistakes in games that there wasn't any snow. He's always thrown it to guys, that were completely covered, and would also kind of overthrow a lot of guys if they were on the sidelines. I think it could just be, you know, him measuring, you know, in his head how far somebody is away and then just going too far with it. He's not a perfect guy. We all know that. But weather became a factor of it. But I also think this is one of Joe's characteristics. Joe takes chances. And I think Joe, whether they pay off or not, he takes those chances because he believes that he can make the throw. And I think he thinks that his receivers can kind of do whatever they need to do. I think he kind of trusts in Torrey Smith that he can make that catch, or whoever the receiver is, Marlon Brown or Pitta. A lot of the times it doesn't pay off, but a lot of times it does. I think it's just Joe kind of being that gambler that he is, taking those chances and hoping it pays off.
I agree, man. I totally agree with you on that. He does take the chances sometimes. Sometimes it hurts us. Sometimes it helps us in the game. But what it matters most is he's made time and time again clutch plays. A lot of times, I mean, you look at the other figures in sports, you know, Michael Jordan, clutch. When the game was on line, you know, basketball, you know, who the Bulls go to? It was in MJ's hands for the last second. You know, the Lakers are the same thing with Kobe, now LeBron in the NBA. You know, football, you know, Tom Brady leading, you know, back in the Patriot days, he still does it. But more so, if not, Brady was known for in the past when he won the three titles, was Brady was leading them down the field to victory. The Patriots had the ball last. You knew the Patriots were going to win the game. I mean, obviously, he led these essential game-winning drives to put the team in position to kick the field goal to win their three Super Bowl titles. So, and then Joe Flacco did it time and time again in the past. I mean, we were reminiscing before the show, 2010. He orchestrated a 96-yard drive in Pittsburgh to win the game to throw it to Torrey Smith. He orchestrated drives to beat, obviously it took a mile-high miracle throw, but he beat Peyton Manning last year. There were some game-winning drives in his lifetime. There are some game-winning drives in his career, and there's still more to play. He had one, you know, just this past weekend. He's had a few, and there's probably still more to come, and I welcome those. Because that's what makes your legacy. That's what makes it. It's you look at his whole total career, and obviously, you know, the interception to touchdown ratio and the completion percentage and all that is skewed, because what matters most is Joe has won from day one. And again, you know, I know there's a lot to talk about, but just Joe Flacco, you know, there's a reason why he was MVP of the Super Bowl, let alone the whole playoff run. 11 touchdowns, 0 picks in the 2012 playoffs with a Super Bowl title and an MVP. That's the reason why he's got it. Most happy player he is on this team. It's his offense. And speaking of his offense, he had his best friend back in Dennis Pitta. What a difference that makes. Pitta was used a lot on that final drive, along with Marlon Brown to get it started, and Pitta caught that one to get him down to the 9-yard line. And then obviously Pitta caught the first touchdown that actually changed the score. So Pitta being back, it was great to see. I'm really happy about that.
You gotta remember this too. We were with us in the stands and everything. Everybody knew that Dennis Pitta was gonna be on the field. We didn't know how long he was gonna be on the field, how many plays he was gonna be out there for. But you remember correctly during the beginning where they kind of show the guys walking down the hallway, getting ready to come out on the field, and Lose Yourself is playing over the loudspeaker. They always pick somebody to focus on, and they follow them down the hallway. Well, Dennis Pitta was the guy they focused on down the hallway, and when people realized it was number 88. On that screen, that place went wild. Everybody was happy to see Pitta back.
Oh, absolutely. They showed Dennis Pitta, and that place was roaring. And, you know, I mean, I knew Twitter and Facebook were in an uproar on Friday and Saturday when we knew Pitta was going to be active on the 53-man roster, and he was going to be playing, and And a lot of people are like, Pitta's back. I mean, again, I tuned it down saying, obviously, he's not the savior, but he's going to help the offensive scheme. And it was a big part. And it's just a big part going forward. And I know I'm really happy to see that back. And I know on the defensive side, flipping the coin here, I know we were missing Elvis Dumervil. He was out, and obviously with no pass rush, no sacks in the last two games. I really hope Elvis Dumervil comes back, and Harbaugh said that he has a good chance of being back this week for Monday night. So I really can't wait to see. And right now, I mean, we're relatively healthy going into the later part of December with 3 weeks left, and I'm very excited about that. Pitt is back. There's no real major injuries on the report. Everybody's relatively healthy, so if we can get it growing. I mean, but again, what an incredible game, incredible win, and in terms of the playoff picture, because and not only our game, but there was a lot of crazy games in the NFL. I didn't realize this when we got out and we went back home, but there were some wild finishes, some wild games in the snow, and you know, the Redskins, you know, there's a joke there, they got blew out with the defense, the Chiefs defense outscored the Redskins offense, the Steelers and the Blues, and that's a huge part about our win, because the Dolphins ended up beating the Steelers. If we lost that game, we would actually be on the outside looking in. The Dolphins would actually have the wild card spot. So kudos to, obviously the Dolphins for knocking off the Steelers, but we kind of need the Pittsburgh win. I hate to say that, but and speaking of that game, Brandon, I don't know if you saw the highlights of that game. I'm sure you have. But how about that lateral play in Pittsburgh? It was a incredible play beyond whether he scored or not. But how about karma? You know, and we were all joking when Jacoby ran it to the house on Sunday, and I grabbed you guys. I said, that's what happens. We don't trip him. And then I see that Antonio Brown stepped out of bounds on the lateral play to win the game for Steelers. So it was kind of like it's kind of like a funny twist. You know, Jacoby scores or could have been a game winner, but he scored anyway, and tip the sidelines, and that's what I'm talking about. It was almost the same play that if he'd have broke his stride, he would have probably got caught. So I still to this day he would have scored on Thanksgiving, but obviously to me, the point is we won that game. But I just think that how cool that ended up turning around, and even a credible finish, and you think our finish was great. Cleveland Browns were up 26-14 on the Patriots with 1 minute, 1 second left, and the Patriots end up winning the game. So there was a lot of crazy finishes, but I've never seen nothing wilder than that Ravens game. They said there was 5 touchdowns in a 2 minute and 5 second span in the game. There were 6 lead changes, and get this. As a fantasy sports bet, Brandon, and I think you'll get a funny of this. Nobody took the unders, right? Nobody really bet this weekend because of the weather. The over under on the Ravens game was 41. It was 12-15 with 2 minutes left in the game after Pitt scored. And the game ended up being 29-26. They scored over 41 points total. So you just never know. That's the beauty about sports, the NFL, any sports in general, because it's not scripted. We never know. And I mean, I know our emotions were up and down. I just was just a sigh of relief, and I still walking out of the stadium, couldn't believe it. I got home, and I'm like, did that really happen? Like, did I just witness one of the greatest games ever since the Maha Miracle? I mean, it was just, wow. I mean, I could talk hours about this game and how we broke it down, but just being there, Brandon, how the stadium, the effect, they did the fireworks, the fire, and the intros, it was snowing. It was an incredible game, and to experience that and that kind of win, I'll remember that for the rest of my life.
Yeah, the win, I got to tell you, I was getting a little upset, you know, every time the Vikings came back, because I was like, I did not sit out here for all this cold, all this wetness and everything to see these guys lose. So I was like getting really ticked off, because I'm like, I can't believe I just wasted all that time. But what an ending to that game. I want to say, like, for people that weren't there, it was funny. When I was at work yesterday, everyone was asking, you were there, you stayed the whole time, how did you do that? I will tell you, I did not dress appropriately for this game. I thought I did, because I had 3 layers of pants on, I had 3 hoodies on, I had a jacket, I had 2 pair of gloves, I had 3 hats. I still was freezing cold. And it was funny, on the way back to the car, I'm trying to get my feet to kind of get feeling again, because they were pretty numb, so I'm like stomping on the ground, trying to get my feet, get them to wake up and realize that, you know, we're moving and everything. But I was trying to get my gloves off my hands, and they were so wet and everything, I couldn't bend my fingers. So I had to literally you know, I had to bite my glove to get the glove off my hand. I looked at my fingers, and my fingertips were blue. They were literally blue. And I'm like trying to touch my fingertips to my thumb, trying to get him to wake up, since I was the one driving. I wanted to be able to, like, you know, hold the steering wheel and make sure we were going straight and everything. And I couldn't feel my fingertips. So the entire time back, and I'm like, that game was definitely worth it. I hope I leave this with all, you know, 10 fingers. But that game was amazing. I hope I don't have frostbite or anything like that. But what a fun game to be a part of. I'm so happy I got to experience it. And if anyone's doubting how cold it was, you know that I have that banner that I put on the hood of my car when we tailgate that says "Clear Eyes, Full Hearts, Can't Lose." It's a big banner. I bring it into the stadium with me. It's kind of my lucky charm now. I picked that up at the end of the game, and I bent it because it was frozen the way it was sitting on the chair. So it literally froze next to me as we were watching that game. So I had to, I couldn't twist it to, like, dry it out. I couldn't fold it up into my pocket because it was just stiff. It was just frozen stiff. It was a crazy experience, but man, what a fun time to be a Ravens fan right now.
Absolutely, man. What a fun time indeed. We're right in the middle of a playoff race. Christmas is coming. It can't get any better than this. And I was talking with some friends of mine this week, and we were discussing, I mean, is this another spark to another run? And even NFL Network was on board with that, and they said with this kind of game, you know, would this spark the Ravens to another run at the Super Bowl? Because, remember, they had these type of games last year, 4th-29. They had the Mariah Miracle in the playoffs. And a lot of people are already picking the Ravens. I don't know if you saw this earlier. Terrell Davis has already said that the Ravens and Broncos are going to meet in the playoffs, and it could happen all the way to the AFC title game. I know we're going to get ahead of ourselves here and get a little excited, but things are shaping up. The Ravens keep winning, and they can get in. The road can get easier, and easier in the playoffs. And you might ask, you know, Brandon, you might ask me, like, you know, how can the road get easier? Well, since the Ravens won yesterday and everything's looking up, I looked at the remaining schedules of the Dolphins and the Bengals, respectively, and our schedule. We have the hardest, I hate to say it, but we have the hardest of the schedules. We have to go into Detroit on Monday night. It's a road game. Their division race is even crazy because they're tied with the Bears at 7-6 and the Packers are 6-6. So really, essentially, Monday night's going to be a great game. It's going to be a playoff game. 2 7-6 teams fighting for a spot, needing to stay alive. We need to stay in our 6th seed spot because the Dolphins, I think, play. The Dolphins actually play all their divisional games. They play Buffalo. Actually, they play New England this Sunday. Then they play Buffalo and then the Jets. The Bengals end up playing the Pittsburgh Steelers on Sunday night. Then they play the Vikings and then they play us. Brandon, it sets up here where the Ravens would actually have to, they would essentially have not lose game. They have to win out the next 3 games. If the Bengals end up losing to Pittsburgh on Sunday night and we win Monday night, and if we can somehow knock off the Patriots on Sunday night and the Bengals can beat the Vikings, that Sunday, the last Sunday of the season in Cincinnati, if we beat them, we're division winners and we get in the playoff game. So a lot of scenarios are built on this story, so I'm going to cover that real quick, which I just did. So I just wanted to at least give a grand scope of the playoff picture, because right now we need to just take care of business, because we can't scoreboard-wise. We can't worry about what the Dolphins are doing, what the Bengals are doing. We just need to concentrate on what the Ravens are doing, and it comes down to Monday night. They always say it all comes down to Monday night, and it's going to. We're going to have a relaxing day, watching football on Sunday, seeing how it unfolds, so we know what kind of work we need to do, but we already know a win is in the future for the Ravens and needs to happen. And it all starts to start stopping the high-powered offense of the Detroit Lions. Before we move on to the Lions game and we put the Vikings game in the rearview mirror, I wanted to at least go over and put some heroes on each side of the ball. I think it's time to give out some game balls this time, and I want to give a game ball on offense to our general, our leader, Joe Flacco, just showing his poise. I mean, he bounced back from his 2 mistakes, his interceptions, and the one was a tip pass interception at 3, and he just came back, and the resilience of this team, and led this team down an 80-yard, 45-second drive to throw a game-winner like that. I'm telling you right now, I would not have any other quarterback other than Joe Flacco right now. I mean, it sounds crazy, but I mean, and besides Brady and Manning, obviously, but Joe Flacco's in his own category, and I'm proud of him. He's my guy, and he's going to get this game ball, and he well deserves it. And and I really wanted to put that out there, too, that I don't know if you noticed, but I sent you the picture. You know, I actually saw the general yesterday.
Yeah, I saw that you got to meet Mr. Joe Flacco. He was looking as happy and joyous as he always does. So seems like he was a pretty cool guy to meet yesterday.
Well, he was, and I want to share this with you all. Speaking of Joe Flacco's demeanor, meeting him, it's. I'm telling you what, I mean, I know I joke with this with my dad, because my dad's like, well, he did win the lottery. He signed a $120 million contract. But I know I don't know if anybody hit the Powerball yet, but it was climbed over $300 million. But I told my dad, I said, he couldn't hit the Powerball, and he wouldn't even care. Like, he wouldn't care. Like, it's weird. Like, he could be homeless and he wouldn't care. He could be a zillionaire and he wouldn't care. He is Joe Flacco, and he like my buddy said, he fits this city, his team's personality to a T. This is what I'm going to share my interaction, if I may, for all the listeners out there, even yourself, Brandon. And this is what happened. I got there, and then I was all excited meeting Joe Flacco, and, you know, all giddy, as I usually am excited. Get up there, and, you know, hey, Joe, what's going on? Man, not much, man, just, you know, nonchalant. So, obviously, the question of the day is, you know, hey, how about that game, man? How about that game? As everybody was asking that, so I said the same thing. I said, what a wild finish. What a crazy game, huh, Joe? He goes, huh, it was okay. Like, so nonchalant, like not, oh, my God, man, dude, that was incredible, bro. It wasn't like he was excited. He's like, eh, whatever. Like, it's like he just, like, another day at the office for him. Like, I mean, obviously, you know, he was quoted on the sideline that this is fun, this is incredible, and he poked fun at it in the postgame conference. And then after that, I shook his hand. I said, you know, Joe, thanks. I said, well, I'll be seeing you in Detroit. I'm flying up next week. And he goes, cool, man. I'll see you then. Like, he's just, like, he's so laid back. It's just nothing but makes you smile. And, you know, I got to meet the Super Bowl MVP again, and it's just a joy. And this is one of many, because there's a lot of Ravens in the area this week. If you're around the Maryland area, check your local sports memorabilia places, because a lot of Ravens are signing this week. Torrey Smith got postponed this week because of the weather. Marlon Brown's out there, and Dennis Pitta is going to be in town on Pearl Friday to send us out in style. So it's going to be a lot of fun this week, and we got Monday Night Football, all eyes on us on Monday night, and I really can't wait. And what even makes this special, there's a lot going on, not with the Ravens Lions, but obviously we know Ray Lewis will be on the sidelines. It'll be great to see him covering the game, especially, and I've yet to hear if Ray Lewis has even quoted about the game that just happened. I'm still trying to find it. I can't find it at all. But, you know, if anybody out there has it, please feel free to tweet me or Brandon if you're finding any Ray Lewis quotes about the game. But even that, I'm actually going to Detroit. I'm so excited. I'm actually flying out there on Monday, the day of the game. I've already talked to my friend. The airport's 20 minutes from the stadium. It's going to be fun. I've already sold my seats. I'm sitting in section 337, row 13. We've already have our tickets. I saw the viewpoint. It's going to be great. So, like, you know, like Brandon, how we're in the corner end zone at M&T Bank?
Right.
I have the same vantage point up at Ford Field. It's right in the corner of one of the end zones. So it's going to be really great. I'm going to send a lot of pictures. And my buddy, he's going to be wearing his Calvin Johnson jersey. He's a Detroit fan. He invited me up. You know, it's going to be great, man. I really can't wait to, you know, wear my full gear and enjoy some football Monday night style. And we're going to have to break this matchup down, because this matchup is quite important.
Yeah, absolutely it is. And Detroit's a fun town. I've been there a few times for work. You know, it reminds me a lot about Baltimore. They kind of have that same kind of blue-collar personality. So that's definitely going to be a fun game. And we're going to cover that in just a minute. But before we really dig deep into this Detroit Lions-Baltimore Ravens Monday night game, let's do our Ravens tailgate song of the week. Since it is the holiday season, I did my best to find some Christmas songs that had a little bit to do with Baltimore. This song is called The 12 Days of Baltimore Christmas, and it kind of goes through and tells you all the different, you know, landmarks and characteristics of Baltimore that we've all grown to love. The song was created by Baltimore comedian Larry Notto and designer Garth Gerhardt, and it's performed by the great Kelly Bell Band. So this is The 12 Days of Baltimore Christmas for the Ravens tailgate song of the week on The Call. Turn it up.
On the first day of Christmas, my Balmer gave to me A trip down the ocean hunt. On the second day of Christmas, my bomber gave to me two harbor strolls and a trip down the ocean hunt. On the third day of Christmas, my bomber gave to me three burger cookies, two harbor strolls, and a trip down the ocean hunt. On the fourth day of Christmas, my bomber gave to me four Oreo birds, three burger cookies, two harbor strolls, and a trip down the ocean high. On the fifth day of Christmas, my bomber gave to me five Teddy Bears. Four Oreo birds, three burger cookies, two harbor strolls, and a trip down the ocean hunt. On the sixth day of Christmas, my bomber gave to me six Old Bay wings, five Eagles. Four Oreo birds, three burger cookies, two harbor strolls, and a trip down the ocean high. On the seventh day of Christmas, my bomber gave to me seven black-eyed Susans, six Old Bay wings, five Teddy. Four Oreo birds, three burger cookies, two harbor strolls, and a trip down the ocean hunt. On the eighth day of Christmas, my bomber gave to me eight Purple Fridays, seven black-eyed Susans, six Old Bay wings, five Eagles. Four Oreo birds, three burger cookies, two harbor strolls, and a trip down the ocean high. On the ninth day of Christmas, my bomber gave to me nine Huns of Hamden, eight Purple Fridays, seven black-eyed Susans, six Old Bay wings, five Eagles. Four Oreo birds, three burger cookies, two harbor strolls, and a trip down the ocean high. On the tenth day of Christmas, my bomber gave to me ten pink flamingos, nine Huns of Hamden, eight Purple Fridays, seven black-eyed Susans, six Old Bay wings, five Eagles. Four Oreo birds, three burger cookies, two harbor strolls, and a trip down the ocean high. On the 11th day of Christmas, my bomber gave to me 11 posa writing, 10 pink flamingos, 9 Huns of Hamden, 8 Purple Fridays, 7 black-eyed Susans, 6 Old Bay wings, 5 Four Oreo birds, three burger cookies, two harbor strolls, and a trip down the ocean high. On the 12th day of Christmas, my bomber gave to me 12 crabs are steaming, 11 poles are rising, 10 pink flamingos, 9 Huns of Hamden, 8 Purple Fridays, like Susan's six old bay wings. Four boiled birds, three burger cookies, two harbor strolls, and a trip down the ocean.
All right, guys, I hope you dug the 12 Days of Baltimore Christmas. I got to say, that is one of my new favorite songs to listen to every year. It is now a Baltimore classic. And if you want to download the song, you can do that at bemorechristmas.com. And the coolest part, you can download the song for free. You know how much I love free around here. That's why we do this podcast for free as well. So check it out. The only thing I didn't like about that song, Josh, I think you're going to agree with me, is day three was three burger cookies. I got to have way more than three burger cookies because they're so good.
I'll tell you what, man. I'm hankering for, I might have to go get some for a holiday party next week because I'm hankering for some burger cookies. And I heard a rumor. Aren't they thinking about going out of business or something? That's sad.
I don't want to bring that up, man. It's so sad. They're making them change up their recipe.
No, I don't want to bring that up. I mean, no, hey, no. The Twinkies went out of business and came back. Maybe because I heard they had to change the recipe or something. I don't know what was going on there.
Yeah, they got to change the recipe. You know, government's trying to kill us all, you know, shutting down, doing everything else. But, right. Hey, whatever. BeMoreChristmas.com. Check it out. Free song, The 12 Days of Baltimore Christmas. Let's talk about the Baltimore Ravens and the Detroit Lions, a Monday night game. The Ravens, like you were saying right before the song, definitely still in the playoff hunt. The Detroit Lions, they broke that streak of losing on Thanksgiving this past year. They were able to come out with a win there. They've got a lot of great tools, and they've also got actual tools on the team that injure people a lot. Josh, what are the Ravens going to have to do to sneak out of Detroit with a win?
They're going to have to, first off, stop Megatron. And I said this, I know the Ravens won, but if the Vikings can make big plays like that, what do you think the Lions are going to do? Megatron's known for putting up 200 receiving yards in a game. He's done it. He's put up two touchdowns, three touchdowns. He provides a matchup problem for the Ravens. And the Ravens are they're susceptible to the big play capabilities of the opposing offenses. And I said that even going into the Vikings game, we can replay it. You know, the Ravens cannot give up a big play, and they gave up a few in the last few minutes, but obviously made some bigger plays. So the Ravens have to keep on that. Another problem is Reggie Bush and the screen passes. We've seen what Cordell Patterson did, and he was a speedy receiver. If Reggie Bush is healthy, he should be. I heard he was day-to-day. But if the Ravens are going to win this game, stop number 21 Reggie Bush and stop 81 Calvin Johnson, and put pressure on Matt Stafford. With Dimmersville back, it'll help, but I haven't seen any pass rushing through games, and if they can't get there, it's going to be a long, long, long day for this defense. And the Ravens are going to have to put up 25 and 30 points to beat them. The offense got to score points, got to put the pedal to the metal. Question is, can Ray Rice be effective, essentially? I know he had some great runs in that fourth quarter, 7, 10, 12-yard runs to give the Ravens some good life and good momentum. And Bernard Pierce had some few, too. So I just hope that if the Ravens can do that, and it's pretty much all faces, and it seems like I'm following a trend here and saying we need to play perfect football. No, there's no way that any team can play perfect football, but I'm just saying special teams are going to help us out because we have a playmaker in Jacoby Jones. If the Lions can kick to him and they don't kick away from him, make some plays, give us good field position, or even return one, if we can play good football in all three phases, we'll have this game. And the fact of the matter is it's a road game, so we know how – road games for the Ravens are always a hard task. So it's going to be interesting to see if the Ravens are going to be the sixth seed. They're going to have to go on a road, especially if we don't win a division, that we're going to have to be battle tested. We have to come away, and this will go a huge way to make a statement. Again, it's not an AFC opponent, but it would make a statement going to stopping Calvin and stopping anybody and saying, hey, you know, Denver, you may be taking notice. Patriots, you may be taking notice because we can stop their weapons. We're going to stop yours, too. So it's going to be a big, big, big matchup problem. But I think Jimmy Smith in the secondary, I think they're up to the task. I really feel good about this game. But again, it's just what Ravens team are we going to get? Are they going to play a sound football? Are they going to be matching big play for big play and we got to keep stride for stride? I don't know. But I expect this to be a big shootout, maybe team scoring in the 20s.
Yeah, you know, this is what I want to talk to you about. Now, we saw this at the end of the game last Sunday. We've talked all season about how the defense are the guys really saving this team, that the offense really hasn't been playing to its full potential. But what happened in those last 2 minutes with the defense that the Vikings were able to get such quick touchdowns? I mean, they went down the whole field for, and it was two plays. Is there something missing on the defense that is going to – did they just get tired? Were they just, you know, completely blown up at the end of the game and they couldn't keep up with the Vikings? Is the defense going to be able to play a full 60 minutes against a team like Detroit?
Well, I would say I sure hope so. It sounds shaky if I can answer that with a confident voice there, but – But again, we don't know Ravens team we're going to get. It's almost like week to week. You know, if they play everything right and they're hitting it at the right stride, I mean, we're not playing great football right now. We're winning football games, but nothing really tells me about this team like, oh, we're going to be a wreck for us. I mean, again, we are one of the scariest teams. No team wants to face us in a one-game playoff because we know we can beat them. You know, this isn't a series game. It's pretty much one and done. But I think... Again, reiterating, if everything works into place and they play their sound game, they can win this game. This game is winnable by any means. This isn't no, I mean, the Ravens are going to be underdogs. I don't think they're going to be huge, but this is a big game. And but with that said, the Ravens usually get up for big games. And what I think is the defensive scheme against the Vikings, I think the Ravens were back, basically sitting back, especially draw play to Toby Gerhardt. When I saw that, the whole middle field is wide open. I think they were playing the pass and stopping the pass on the sides that they left the middle field wide open. It was a great, and I give kudos. Whoever their offensive coordinator is on the Vikings, great call, play call, because that draw play was the perfect call. I would have done the same thing. The Ravens are sitting back waiting for the pass. They're not scared to stop Toby Gerhardt. We're going to stop him. It wasn't even Andy Pearson. It was their backup, and he just ran. And he was just physical, and we're going to bring him down. And I think what it is, poor tackling issues. The Ravens have to tackle. If you have a body on him, put him down. I mean, I hate to say this, but with the Gronk injury in New England, that we didn't cover, and that's just lost for them, you know, it's take out their knees, take out their legs. If you can't wrap them up, just go low at them and at least slow them up or trip them up. I mean, you know, if you can't hit them high, hit them low. Just where can you hit them? I mean, they're got to hit them somewhere. So I'm not condoning dirty hits, but again, the NFL, if you can't head on, take out the top, then take out the bottom. And with these quick, speedy guys like Reggie Bush and Calvin's a big first receiver, you're going to have to put a body or two on him and break him down. You can't just wrap him up because he'll drive out of the way and he'll score a touchdown very quickly, especially on one-on-one coverage. If it breaks down, Calvin can get an 80-yard touchdown all day long. So it's, again, the Ravens got a key and stick to the roles. You know who their matchups are, stick there, don't let up the big play, and help each other out on defense, especially on offense, and run blocking and pass blocking and really keeping Joe focused and zoned in on his receivers. And, again, you got to play sound football and just execute the plays. A lot of times, you know, on Sunday I noticed that the Ravens were going for a big play, which I flawed that. Sometimes it was more, let's just worry about getting a first down and nickel and dime it down the field and worry about clock management than trying to, you know, we're not down 20 and he's trying to win the ball 50 yards on first down. I'm like, we don't need that right now. It's, you know, let's, you know, keep it simple instead of trying to get everything on one big play. It's almost like the Orioles being down and trying to hit for home runs every single time they're played. No, get a couple men on base and get them over and score. It's called methodical, you know, what they use in baseball. It's how you manufacture runs. You use a method and get it done with the Ravens same way. You know, let's throw a screen pass, get right down the middle. Let's do a draw play. Let's mix it up. Let's do play action over the middle of the pit. It's almost like they just try to get a one-on-one matchup, try to get Jacoby Jones out in front for the speed, and then they either overthrow him, underthrow him. And it sometimes it don't work. I think the Ravens need to keep it simple. And I think keeping it simple, I think they'll win the ballgame.
That's what I hope they're going to do. And I think these guys will be able to come out with a win against Detroit. And I just from this past week and what John Harbaugh has said in press conferences, he has built this team to play December football. He's built this team to play and really shine late in the year. And I think it kind of showed this past week that you can get down by a touchdown or more, and you can still come back and you can still win this game. Detroit is definitely a team to watch for. They do have a lot of great players. Megatron Bergeron and Reggie Bush, of course, being such great players that you always have to watch out for those guys. But I got to say that the Ravens really feel like they've come into their own at this point. We always were talking about how these guys looked very inexperienced with all these new guys on the field and how the offense was not clicking or whatever. But the offense was really clicking this past Sunday, and I think they're going to continue to play very well. Of course, Joe has great receivers. The offensive line is still non-existent. The offensive line is still kind of a sore subject with a lot of Ravens fans around the state. But Ray Rice was at least able to get a few yards this past Sunday. Hopefully they're still working on that, and hopefully they'll still be able to improve against Detroit. But as far as receivers go, I mean, Pitt is back, and you know Joe's happy about that. Marlon Brown has been one of his favorite targets this year, and I think Marlon Brown showed that he can kind of play under a lot of pressure, and he does well with things like that. You've got Torrey Smith, who I've got no worries about, and Jacoby Jones, who's a great special teams player as well as a great receiver as well. So Joe's got everything he needs right now. The offensive line needs to give him time. Joe's got to be able to have time to work, and they need to make some holes for Ray Rice or Vontae Leach or whoever's going to be carrying that ball. These problems don't change week to week. It's the same things we're kind of worried about, and if we're worried about them, then you know a team like Detroit is going to be worried about them as well. But I'm not worried that the team won't know what to do against Detroit. I think the team knows who they are at this point. I feel as if the last couple weeks they've really shown that they know what to do, and Harbaugh has taught these guys that December is when you play the hardest football because everybody's in the hunt, and I think these guys are going to do well. I have no worries. I think it's going to be a great game, definitely, but I have no worries that the Ravens are going to be able to come away with a win on this game.
I agree, man. I think everything's setting up good for us. I feel great. And I just really can't, I really can't wait to be up there. I really can't wait to see how it's going to unfold, to be there live. It's going to be great. A road Ravens road trip. And for the sake of the podcast, I'm going to interview, my good buddy. And his name's Lane. He's a Detroit fan I'm going up there with. He's going to meet me at the airport. So I'm going to interview him. We'll get a snippet up there, report live. And hey, definitely if I find any purple and black up in Detroit, I'm definitely getting a tweet pick, and also I'm going to get him. I'm trying to get him on the podcast and give him my Twitter handle. Say, hey, look me up. Everything's legit. I really can't wait to see Ray and family up there. And I know there'll be some up there. As you know, I know how like a lot of the local media places and radio stations. I know WSD does a lot of road trips. I know a lot of Ravens road trips happen. And Detroit's only an hour and 20-minute flight, so and I got my flight booked, so I really can't wait. So I'm definitely going to be quote unquote flying high this weekend to see the Ravens. So a little play on my sign off there. So I definitely can't wait to. You know, I'm just going to be jazzed up. I told my buddy I'm going to be dressed in full gear on the flight because we're basically going right from the airport. We're going to get a bite to eat, and we're going straight to the stadium and do some light tailgating and enjoy the atmosphere as Monday Night Football and really get it going the right way. So my flight gets there, I think between 5 and 5:30, and game's at 8:30, so we have 3 hours, so traffic can be 20 minutes away. So, again, I have plenty of time. I pray there's no big snowstorm in the way between here and Detroit to delay my flight, because I will be trying to get an early one out there if that's the case. But again, I'll be up there, and I'll be sure to report live for us, and we'll get some good content. Hopefully on Tuesday when I come back, we'll be bringing a win, and we'll be 8-6 with a 4th straight win, and it'll be unprecedented, and it'll be great momentum going into the playoffs.
That's what I'm hoping for. So, Josh, did we miss anything, and did we cover everything for this show?
Did we cover everything? I think the snow's got everything covered in Maryland, but I'm going to say not a chance.
Yeah, we didn't miss a thing, not a chance. That's right. So if you want to keep talking Baltimore Ravens football, you can tweet to Josh or I. We are both on Twitter. Tweet to me at Brando Cash, and you can tweet to Josh as well. Where can people follow you on Twitter?
They can always follow me on Twitter at ItalianGQ52.
Very cool. If you're on Facebook, make sure you go like The Call on Facebook. It's facebook.com/The Call Podcast. Like us over there. That's where you get information about this show. And whenever a new show comes out, you'll be notified. You can also like the Brando Cash Network on Facebook, facebook.com/BrandoCash. That's where you get information about this show and all the other shows on the Brando Cash Network. Now, we give you this show completely for free. You can download the show, stream it, whatever you want to do. We are available on iTunes, Stitcher, and thecall.brandocash.com. But All we ask in return is for you to be social with the show and let people know that you're a Ravens fan, you listen to the call, and that they should too. So let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Vine and Instagram and Reddit. Let them know that you're a Ravens fan, they should listen to the call, and that they should subscribe on iTunes. And make sure you leave us an iTunes review as well. That kind of helps us get a little bit more popular in the iTunes world, get a little bit more notice, and climb up that ladder that iTunes has set up there. So that's pretty much it for the call this week. Again, thank you, Larry Notto, for allowing us to use the song 12 Days of Baltimore Christmas. This has been great. Josh, send us out the way you always do.
Yes, sir. Thanks, Brandon, for another great show. Everybody listening out there, 3 straight home wins, momentum. What a crazy game. Hopefully everybody has gotten their anxiety medicine prescription fulfilled. And everything's going great because we need to calm down and get ready for Monday night football. We always get up for Monday night. Detroit is the scene. Ford Field, be there live. It's going to be incredible. Everybody back home watching on ESPN, it's going to be a fun game indeed. Ravens need a 4 straight win to keep in the playoff hunt. I think we can get there. Let's lead us to victory. Joe Flacco and company, pit us back, and let's get going. Ravens on Monday night football, ESPN style. Baltimore Ravens fly high on Monday.
This has been a production of the Brando Cash Network. Music mixed and produced by DJ Wolfman.